anyway, they both went to prison for several years. They were able to get back in this country, I think, through Norwegian Christians that got them out of there. He went before Congress and showed his scars, and they started, you know, the persecuted church, the move that, and it really, really has been a blessing to the world. So God always has his people. We are here to do a job for Jesus. Okay, today we're going to be studying More Like Jesus, More Like Jesus. And I'm going to sort of wander around a little bit. But anyway, Lord, again, we just thank you for your presence. Whatever your need is today, maybe you need healing. Father, we thank you right now for healing Rachel's mom. We thank you for healing Dana. We thank you for healing your church. Lord, we thank you that we have you. We thank you that you said in your word that you sent forth your word and healed them. And we thank you for your healing power today working. Father, whatever the need is, whether it's financial, whether, Lord, we come against that fear that just because all the, because of inflation, Father, that you will cover your children. You will make up the difference. And Lord, that there will be enough for everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we live in a time where there is a lot of fear. And, you know, that the enemy is working on that, that he wants us to be fearful. But we are not to be fearful because we serve a risen Savior. We serve a God. We are not at the mercy of the world. We have Jesus on our side. And I wanted to say this because I'm reading this little booklet, and it's called, and it's about the Bible, obviously. And anyway, it talks about the hero of the Bible, which is God. It says, and I want to share that just a second here. This is so neat. It says right here, also the movie coming out, Sabrina Tortured for Christ. And but the only thing is it is today, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and it's at the Bayou Theater. I think. Did Michael, is that, that's where that, right? So you would have to go to Pensacola, but it is showing. But I thought what we might do, if since money, we probably won't get over to Pensacola. When it comes out, we'll have a movie night, and we'll show it. Wouldn't that be neat? Maybe have soup, and then soup and a movie. So we'll try to remember that and put that together. Amen? Amen, because it's going to be a wonderful movie about what happened in their lives. But anyway, at the beginning of it all, and the reason that we are here, and I want to read this real quick. It says, in the beginning, God, he is the hero of this book. And as you read this book, this awesome book called the Bible, every character in this book is in relationships, what his relationship is with this God that created us. So it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he goes on and talks about it. And it was so. Whatever he said, it was so. But here in the second chapter, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So God breathed into us, and we became a living being. Today, we are special because God breathed into us. Isn't that an awesome thought? You know, I was thinking about PJ and his relationship with his cat, Molly. It's really neat. Where is PJ? He's hiding out. Oh, he's out. But anyway, PJ stayed with us for a little while after he got out of the Air Force, trying to get into an apartment and everything. And he has a cat named Molly. And Molly loves PJ. Now, Molly, when I came home, Molly just, oh, okay, you're here. Big deal. Nobody cares. But I think that she knew when PJ put that key in the door that was PJ, because she would come running down the hall, and it was all about her and PJ. And even though Molly is an extra special cat and we loved her a whole bunch and still do, she was not made in the image of God. PJ was made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. And when God breathed into us his breath of life, it changed everything. Some people say that we're just a higher level of animal. Well, that's not true. We might have been if God had not breathed into us. But when God breathed into us his life, we became a separate creation. Amen? We became his creation. He made us. He loves us. And he chose us to be his children. Isn't that an awesome thought? Over and over in the Bible, God doesn't say, you chose me. He said, I chose you. And when we were working in Skid Row Mission down in Seattle many, many years ago, the Lord really showed me that we are, that God loves us. And if you take anything away from this today, take away the fact that God loves you, that you are special. You were handmade by God himself. You were not an accident. You were handmade, and you will always be special to God. Just like when God spoke to my heart and told me how much he loved those people. He said, I love them. It wasn't like, I love them. I love them. I love everybody. No, he said, I love them. God loves you today. God loves you today. There is PJ, and he missed the whole thing. I was talking about you and Molly, PJ. But anyway, I'm going to share a couple of things that's really, really helped me in my walk with the Lord. And that's what we want to be, because it says in, where are we at here? Okay. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And one thing I forgot, but it was too late to tell Rick, was that I forgot that not only do we seek him daily, but we surrender to him daily. This is super important. You must surrender your life. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say that. You know, he goes on to say that as a matter of fact, I put it in the bulletin. It said, you know, that we are supposed to die daily. It says, take up your cross daily and follow me. And it says, not only are we're supposed to seek him every day, seek him every waking moment of our life, but we're supposed to surrender afresh to him. Because if we don't, we'll find we're going to be doing our own thing, which usually gets us into a lot of trouble. So anyway, we are to seek God, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. What other things? Everything. What do you want? God wants you to seek him first, and then it will line up with what God really wants you to have. See, we might seek a lot of things, but it might not be God's will for us. But if we seek God first, then all of those things that God wants for us will line up. Amen. We will see what God wants first. Okay, I tried to get these in. Then John 10:10 says, the thief comes not but to except to steal, kill, and destroy. So we have an enemy that we have to fight. We have an enemy that hates us. We have an enemy that's out to kill us, destroy us. And the thing that we don't want to do is line up with him. Amen. And this is why we seek him first, because if we're seeking God first, the chances are we're not going to be lining up with Satan. We're not going to be deceived by Satan. We're going to say, no, that's not right. That's not what God wants for me. You know, I've got to go a higher way. God has called us to a higher place in him. So, but Jesus says, and this is what we want to remember, he says, the thief comes not but to except to steal, kill, and destroy. So we have an enemy out there that his whole job is to destroy us. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. Amen. Say, you're not going to get me, Satan. I have somebody on my side. His name is Jesus. But then Jesus says, and I love this, God always has a response for everything. And every character in the Bible from Genesis on reveals that. It's all about God's working in their lives, in our lives. And that's so important. He says, I have come that they might have life. So what has Jesus come to give us? Life. Not just any old life, but his life. His life. He says, I have come that they might have life, and they may have it more abundantly. Well, what would you choose if you had a choice? Here over here is destruction. I think I might go that way. I can fall off this cliff. I think I will fall off this cliff. It sounds so good. Even though all these people are saying, don't do it, don't do it. Yes, I think I'll take the cliff. But on the other hand, we could choose the abundant life. Who wants the abundant life? Amen, amen. I want the abundant life. I like the abundant life. Guys, God has blessed me so much. I am such a spoiled child, but I love it. You can spoil me anytime you want to, Jesus. And I tell this little story. I'm always watching the 700 Club, and they have these testimonies, and it was about a little girl, and they were from Iran. The parents had moved to England, and the father divorced the mother, and so it was just the mother and the daughter in England. But she finds Jesus. Through a process, she finds Jesus. But her heart, she has so much baggage she's taken into the situation. But Jesus speaks to her heart, and he says, but you know you were always my favorite. And I thought, isn't that sweet? And I said, no, Lord, I'm your favorite. What is about this that's not right? We're all his favorite. Amen. Let's say, I'm his favorite. I'm his favorite. Amen, amen. Because he loves us. He loves us. And we're his favorite. But I thought that's sweet. Isn't that just like our Savior? She needed that reassurance. She didn't have a father's love. And today you might not have had a father's love, but you have a father's love, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. You have a big brother that his name is Jesus, and he's for us. So we can choose the abundant life if we follow Jesus. All we have to do is follow Jesus, and there it is, the abundant life. And personally, I like the abundant life. I like that abundance. Amen. Just recently, I had the neatest thing, and I wouldn't want to embarrass him, but all my grandchildren are wonderful, perfect in all their ways. Amen. Amen. But one of them called me up, and he and his wife, and said, "Grandma, what do you want for your birthday and Christmas?" And I, you know, just said off the top of my head, "You know, I could use a new refrigerator." So they bought me a new refrigerator. Isn't that awesome? A brand new refrigerator. It's coming this Friday. We'll have tours through my house. Everybody can look at my new refrigerator. But isn't that neat? Isn't God good? I mean, am I not spoiled? So I thought, I don't know what I did to earn it, but I'm so grateful. I am so blessed. God is so good. So anyway, but we choose the abundant life because we follow Jesus. We follow him. And this is what happens when you follow Jesus. God just blesses your socks off. And even when you go through hard times, you know he's there. And even when you've been faithful, and that's what another thing, be faithful. Be faithful wherever you're at. Be faithful in God's house. You might not feel chill bumps every time you enter, but be faithful in whatever you do for God. God rewards faithfulness. God, I have seen it through the years. And if you are faithful, God will be faithful to you. Right, Rick? He will be there when you need him. And we need him every waking moment. Amen. Amen. So let's go on. And I'm going to try. Didn't we have awesome service already? The veterans, the internet, the clip, the whole thing. So anyway, God has promised us the abundant life if we follow him. All we have to do is follow him, and it's so easy. Just follow Jesus. Amen. So every Christian, but as Christians, how do we follow him? Does God give us guidelines? Does God show us how to do it? Well, he does. He's so good. So let's turn to the next. Okay, we're in Romans 8. 28 and 29. These are two awesome, awesome scriptures, guys. They are so good. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So what God is doing in all of this, and what he does from the moment we accept him as his, he is our Savior. We accept him as our Savior. He is conforming us into the image of his dear Son. So in the end, we look like Jesus. We talk like Jesus. When people see us, they'll think, wow, that used to look like Claudia, but I think I see Jesus there. Amen. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? So the whole purpose of this whole thing that we go through is to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. So as we seek him, as we choose him in everything we do, he's conforming us into that image. And so he's doing a work in each one of us, individually and collectively, to get that done. So let's go on to the next slide. And so, all right, this is quite a little bit of scripture here, but it's worth it. The problem I have is that I want to do the whole chapter because it's so good. I start reading, I said, ooh, this is good, this is good. And so then I try to condense it down so we, you know, we're not here all day. But guys, read this word. It is the most awesome book in the world. It's the most awesome book. As you read it, look at it in the sense of this is God's dealing with man. This is what God is doing. And everyone, take Abraham. God tells him, if you just follow me, if you follow me, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Well, we know the story of Abraham. We're all descendants of Abraham. If we are born again Christian, we are, our father is Abraham also. So read the Old Testament and see how God directed the lives of these people. The New Testament, how he worked into their lives and how it all worked out. So we're going to read here some scripture, Ephesians 4:25-32. Well, what does God want me to do? Here I've accepted him as my Savior. How am I supposed to walk? How am I supposed to talk? How am I supposed to walk? It says, okay, therefore, putting away lying, that's a good thing to put away, isn't it? Amen. Let's start right there. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. So you can get upset. You can get angry at the society that's so wrong, the cruelty that's out there, how our brothers and sisters, but it says don't get angry and sin. What does that mean? That means when you go into road rage and you cut the other guy up and you're going to kill him if you get your hands on him. One time I really thought this guy was going to do that to me. You know, when you have that blind spot and I look both ways and then and then we had to stop at a light and I thought, oh dear, this isn't going to be good. I really thought he was going to get out and come get me. And I think, thank you, Lord. I said, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it, you know. So, and he didn't kill me, obviously, but I was very grateful. So it says, so be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So make peace as much as possible. The Bible says, as much as possible, live at peace with all men. So sometimes it's not possible, but 99.9 times it is possible. We sometimes just have to make the best of just, you know, let it go. The Lord really showed that some, you know, you just have to let these things go because it might never be an even situation. It might never be a judged situation, but we have God on our side and he'll take care of us. In the end, he will take care of us and it will all even up. Okay, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Now, this is really super important. And I was thinking about this, and you guys forgive me, but I'm not a big fan of Halloween. But so I was praying about it because sometimes I don't mean to be a little dogmatic about things or something, but sometimes, you know, when I'm thinking, what is a good place in all of our lives, in every situation, is don't give place to the devil. Don't give him any room to manipulate your life, to move into that area of life. And I don't even know why I brought up the Halloween thing. It must be rambling. But anything in your life that you're questioning about, then go be safe. Go the way of God. Go the way, what would Jesus do? Go back to what would Jesus do? And don't give place to the devil. Amen. Okay, it says, let him who stole no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give who has need. So, of course, we're not supposed to steal. We're Christians. We're not supposed to steal anyway. But, you know, today, people are not taught the Ten Commandments. They're not taught. They don't know. I think in a lot of sense that, you know, you would think that would just be ingrained in your heart. But if you've ever wondered, should I steal? Don't do it. Okay. All right. If it's a question, just don't do it. But rather, this is really good because today they say people have problems with this. I was raised on a farm. I was raised to work. And I think most of us are. But it says, rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give who has in need. So why do we work? Not only to support our own, but guys, you guys are the most generous people on earth. Every time we have we give money to different situations. You guys are more than generous. We have given money. We had this lady show up one Sunday morning, and she was trying to make it to Michigan. Her daughter said, "Mom, just go down and beg. Just go down and ask the people at the filling station, if they have any extra money, could they help put gas in?" She said she went down there, and this one lady said, "Why don't you get a job?" This guy said, "Go to bed with me, and hey, I'll give you some money." And she said, and the Lord said, "Go down to this church. They'll help you." So she comes in, and she's at the end of the service, and I said, "Well, everybody is dispersing." As a matter of fact, I think we were having dinner that day. And I said, "I wish I had known sooner, so because there's only a handful of people in here." I said, "But we'll do what we can. Well, you know, we will definitely help you get on your way. I don't know if we'll help you all the way to Michigan, but we'll do what we can." Do you know we had enough? We were able, just with this handful of people that was left, got enough money where she could get to Michigan. Isn't that neat? We sent her on her way, and she was so happy. She was waving. But see, this is what we can do. Even though it's not a lot of us, we can. If each one of us gives, we can make a difference. And she was so blessed. And we were blessed because we could give to her. So if we didn't work, we wouldn't have any money. And I always tell everybody, keep a little cash on hand. I know people don't do that today. But if you have a little cash on hand, you can give it to somebody. But it's hard to go to a, you know, can you wait an hour? I'll run down and get some money. So just keep a few bucks in your pocket. So if somebody comes along that needs your money, you'll say, I don't have much, but this is what I have. And you say, well, what if they're lying through their teeth? But that's between them and God. You know, they'll have to stand before God one day. I'm not saying be, you know, just give it away, like, but listen to God. God tells you to do something, do something. Amen. Amen. So, all right. So we're not going to steal anymore. We're going to put that, we're going to lie anymore. Okay, it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. You know, sometimes people just need to hear something nice. You know, just, you know, it's going to be okay. You're going to make it. It's a, you know, just say something nice. Amen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed in the day of redemption. Let 31st verse. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And I love this because sometimes even in families, even with husbands and wives, it says, and be kind to one another. Can we not just be kind to one another? Amen. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, if you never forgave for any other reason, forgive because God has forgiven you. Amen. Has not God been good to you? So even if you don't want to forgive, even if you say it's not right that I have to forgive, I had to do this one time. I probably have done it a lot. But one time my husband and I got in this argument. Can you imagine that? Yes. And so anyway, it really got to where we weren't talking to each other. And I remember it was Russell had not went in the army yet. So he said, will you guys please straighten up and stop this? So anyway, the Lord just told me, you know, you've got to, you know, the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, this, it was really my fault. I hated to admit that, but it was. So I had to one, you know, I had to go in the end. I had to go in the end and say I was sorry. And I hated it so bad. But I did it. And he forgave me. He was very gracious. But it says to be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Sometimes it's hard to be kind to your wife and husband, right? Sometimes it's hard to be nice to your neighbor or just somebody in church or whomever comes across your path. But try to be kind to one another. It says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Isn't that sweet? Tenderhearted. That means that you're soft towards them. You're not going to harden your heart and say, I'm not going to do this again. I refuse to do this again. And by that time, oh my gosh, what was I watching? It was something, but anyway, they said the main problem with marriages was not money, but it was anger. That you get angry with one another, and if you don't repent and ask forgiveness, the anger gets worse, and the next time it's harder. So I was sort of surprised because I sort of expected to be money problems or something like this, but they said no, it was anger problems. So guys, look at yourself and say, do I have that problem? If I do, get rid of it because it's not going to help. You can do this. Amen. So be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So for no other reason, forgive because God has forgiven you. Amen. Amen. And yes, life is not fair. Yes, people are going to do you wrong. But just let it go. Let it go. It's not so. I hope God doesn't test me on this. Have you ever noticed that? You promise God you're going to do this, and then you walk out the door or whatever, and there's this big test. I think, oh, no, I'm going to be tested in this. So let's go on to the next. So we're going to put on the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to put on the Lord Jesus. Let's go to the next slide. Or is that the last slide? That is it. Wow, you guys looked at. That's it. Okay. But anyway, isn't that nice that we have all this stuff? Isn't it nice? God is so good. But so the whole point of this is to be more like Jesus, to be more like Jesus. So they will, the world, why would the world be attracted to us if we're just as mean and ugly as they are? You know, and Christians can be mean and ugly and nasty. Amen. I have to confess that we sometimes are even pretty good at it. And but we want to be different than the world. We want to be like our big brother Jesus, who paid the ultimate price and loved us so very much. And remember, you were a chosen generation. You were his chosen. Over and over, God says, I chose you. And isn't that just, that's enough right there to get on your knees and just say, thank you, Jesus, that you would love me so much that you would choose me. Over all, obviously, there are many, many people that aren't going to make it in the kingdom. And I have, as a matter of fact, there's one thing, it's in the bulletin. We are not going to be meeting down at Carpenter's Park because of, you know, the time thing. It's going to be dark down there by the time we would get there. So we're going to be meeting here early on Wednesday at 6 if you guys want to come down and pray with us before we start, people start coming in and we start visiting. So we're going to be meeting down here. I think that's what we said, right, Dalton? And so just a time of prayer before that. But if not, keep praying at home. Pray on Monday nights. We have a lot to pray about. There was a survey, and I don't know where, but Dalton and Bray and I have been praying about this, and it was about young adults. And so many young adults believe today. I mean, they don't believe in God. And if there is a God, they're not interested in him. And that's sort of scary. I have a lot of grandkids that are in that age group, and I want them to make it into heaven. The alternative of not making it into heaven is not a good one. So, guys, we have much to pray about, and pray for revival. Pray that this situation will change. I know there's a God-given hunger in each one of us to follow Jesus. Have you ever known a child that you started talking to someone, a little child, about Jesus? They think that's the most wonderful thing. Like if you're ever in the nursery and you start telling them about Jesus, they are so excited. I mean, it's in us to want to know Jesus. It's in us. If somewhere between that and getting older, we lose that. We lose that excitement. So let's pray and believe that we can get it back, because the world needs Jesus. The world needs Jesus because we're going to all die if Jesus tarries. We're going to face God. It says it's appointed to every man to die, and then the judgment. One day we will stand before God. And this is a very serious thing because we want to be right with God. We want our families. It grieves my heart. One of the things that grieves me the most is that there are people in my life that know me all my life, and they know. I was talking to one of my great-grandchildren, and I was saying, you know, when grandma dies, and if that will happen, if Jesus tarries, I said, what will you think about? I mean, what will you think about grandma? And he said that you're a really nice lady. And I said, that makes me very happy. But I would rather you say she loved Jesus. So, you know, I want them to be right with God. And some of them have known me quite a few years, and they still are not there where they should be. And it grieves me because I think, God, why isn't there something in me that's drawing them? What am I not doing, you know? So that is my prayer, that those that I love, those in my family, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, those that will serve God, those that I come across, there'll be something in me that will draw them to Jesus. There should be something in me that they will want that personal relationship with Jesus. So listen in with that prayer, okay, that if there are people in your life that they would find Jesus. Lord, we just lift up all of those people in our lives. Father, in my case, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, Lord, those to come, those that I work with, those that I fellowship with, Lord.